So we'll try to give just a little bit of Rashi Prakim about the mitzvah of Asiyas HaSukkah. First, you know, the Poskim folk, the Minhag, they try to build the Sukkah a little bit, at least start a little bit tonight. So some of us were able to start a little bit tonight. Those who were not able to start tonight, so at least you're chaperein a little bit of limud of the Hachas HaSukkah. So that should be, just as we say by Kabbalah, so the person can bring a carpet, so if it is Baruch Hu counts it for the mitzvah, so Baruch Hu should count this for the mitzvah also. When it comes to Sukkah, so the Gemara in the beginning of Sukkah tells us that there are two very, very different parts of the Sukkah, Pialocha. There's the Schach and there's the Defanos. So most of the dinim of the Sukkah revolve around Schach. The Gemara learns out from Sukkah and Pashas Re'ech, HaGasukah Tatsal Choshev Is Yom, and Be'asukah Megarnachom Yikvecha. The Torah says that you celebrate Sukkah at this man of Asif is going to be Yakov, at the time when you start gathering in the harvest. So the Gemara says this pasuk is not only referring to the time of Sukkah, but is referring to the halachas of what the Sukkah has to be made of. That the Sukkah has to be made of what's called Pseles Gerin V'yakev. It has to be made out of those things which are left over after the harvest. When you harvest your grain, but there are other things left behind. There's the straw, there's the branches, all kind of other, all the garbage that's left behind, which you're not going to eat. So that stuff is dafka, what the Torah says you're supposed to use for the schach. So the Gemara says that we derive from this model of Pseles Gerin V'yakev, the leftover stuff in the Gerin V'yakev, all the dinim of schach. So for example, the din is that just as psoas gerin v'yakev is not makabel tuma, so to the schach can't be makabel tuma. Just as the psoas gerin v'yakev is something that grew in the ground, so to the schach has to have grown in the ground. Just as the psoas gerin v'yakev is no longer growing in the ground, so to the schach can no longer be growing in the ground. So all the details of a chesukah only apply to the schach. What about the defanos? The gemara's with defanos, but kolos and defanos. You can make defanos out of whatever you want. There's no problem. We assume most probably even chachila. So one day in the Gemara that says maybe not, but we assume halacha l'maisa you can make the defanos out of everything, even l'chadchila. All the dinim of the schach, all the dinim of the schach, only chal l'gavi the schach. So there is a famous one from Reb Chaim about this halacha that only l'gavi, all the dinim of the chefetz of sukkah only apply to the schach. So how do we understand this in light of machlekes in the Rambam and the Rosh concerning the sukkah? The Gemara tells us in Sukkah Daf Tes. And one is not allowed to be nene from the atzia sukkah. It's an issue in the Torah to benefit from the sukkah shlo b'sach mitzvah. So let's say a person in the middle of chol hamoed would try to take the schach down and use it for firewood. So that would be awesome in the Torah. When it's after the pasuk, chag sukkah shivas yom l'Hashem, it has to be k'shem shechal shem shemayim l'chagiga, k'chal shem shemayim l'sukkah. So the atzia sukkah rasa b'hano min haTorah. So the Rambam writes that that iser on the atzia sukkah applies min haTorah both to the schach as well to the defanos. Let's say a person would decide to take down the walls of the sukkah. The schach is not going to use. He's going to take down the walls. He's going to use the walls to make pick a bonfire. He's going to use the walls to heat up his house. So the Rambam writes that would also be a nisim in a Torah. So the Rosh writes, how can that be a nisim in a Torah? If all the dinim of sukkah only apply to the schach, not to the defanos, so that posuk of sukkah shivas yom Hashem only applies to the schach. So how did the Rambam know that applies to the defanos? So Chaim explained that there's a difference. Because there are some dinim in the sukkah that revolve around the chefts of the sukkah, what's considered to be the object of the sukkah, and then there are other parts of the sukkah that depend upon the mitzvah of sukkah. So the chefts of the sukkah, any din that emanates from the chefts of the sukkah, the object of the sukkah, that only applies to the schach, not to the defanos. So when you have to define what type of a chefts can be used to build the sukkah, so it's going to be yekev, it can be makabel tuma, etc. So that's only chal in the schach. The halacha that you're not allowed to be nenef matzeh sukkah, that's a din in the mitzvah sukkah. Anything that's used, anything that participates towards the mitzvah of the sukkah. You cannot personally benefit from shalom b'dech mitzvah sukkah. So even though the walls are not considered to be the chefts of the sukkah, they are part and parcel of the mitzvah sukkah. Even whether you accept the Shulchan, don't accept the Reb Chaim, whether you hold that there's the part of the mitzvah, not part of the mitzvah, you definitely need them. There's no question that you need them. If you have just chach without walls, so for sure the sukkah is no good. Even though the dinim as to what the walls have to be made of, there are no such halachas. But the fact that you require walls, that's for sure. How many walls do you need? The Gemara quotes the Chalikas HaTanai between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan, whether you need four walls, whether you need three walls. So we pass in Halacha that all you need is three walls. And the Gemara says that last wall, according to Rabbi Shimon, the last wall is the fourth wall. According to the Rabbanan, Rabbi Shimon, the last wall is the third wall. That third wall, or the fourth wall, depending on what Yeshit is, it doesn't even have to be a complete wall. It's shlish zafilu tefach. The Gemara says that was Halacha Moshe Sinai, that whatever the last final questions of the Sukkah is, whether it's the third wall, the fourth wall, it doesn't have to be a whole wall. It can even be a tefach. That's sufficient. So technically, if you have a Sukkah, we paskin it's almost more open than closed. You have one wall, and then it's a little tefach mashu sticking out. Then the Gemara explains that midirabbanan, you need a little bit more. more than that. You can't just have stam one tefach, you have to add on a tefach pesach, and you have to add on a little bit bigger. You shouldn't just rely on that thin deraisa. It looks a little bit funny, just one little tefach jutting out. That's not good enough. With the rabban, you have to add on a little bit more. But once you have three walls, so for sure the sukkah is totally kosher. The Pashta Dvarim is, if it's three walls, it's kosher even l'chadchila. We quoted over Rosh Hashanah, if I'm not mistaken. There's a very difficult taisa in Rosh Hashanah that suggests that l'chadchila you need four walls in the sukkah, because otherwise it's lacking teshu kein taduru. So a greater key of teshu kein taduru would be to put up a fourth wall. So we usually don't assume that way. We usually assume that three walls is good, even l'chadchila. That's what the halach marsinei was. Three walls is sufficient. Are there any halachas at all that govern the walls? We just make light of the walls. Nothing. Who cares what the walls are like? So there's one halacha tucked away in the beginning of the second parak about the walls of the sukkah that causes all the tzaras today. And I should say tzaras causes all the complications today. The Gemara says that whenever you build a wall, so the wall has to be a chalamid baruch matsuya. It has to be able to withstand the normal wind. The Gemara says that's not really a din of a sukkah, it's a din of a mechitzos, and it's true for Shabbos as well. Whenever you build an Erev, so the Erev walls has to be able to withstand a normal wind. I don't know whether the mechitzos and shul has to be able to withstand the Hashem and mechitzos. We've stood a lot of things today, but I don't have to withstand the wind. But a mechitzah for Hilchos Shabbos and for sukkah purposes has to be able to withstand the normal wind, even if it happens not to be windy outside. That's the shear in Hilchos mechitzos and kol ha-terekula. So there was a big machlekes in the Rishonim about what exactly does that. What do those words mean? That the walls have to be able to withstand the wind. Does that mean that if a wind comes, the wall doesn't fall down? Or does that mean if a wind comes, the wall doesn't budge, it doesn't move? So if you hold that it just has to be strong enough that it doesn't collapse on you, it doesn't fall on you, so then all of our sukkahs are perfectly okay. Well, the canvas sukkahs, everything, they're flying in the wind. Who cares? They're flying in the wind, big deal. They're all kosher anyway, because as long as they're not mamish collapsing in the wind, that would be okay. So that's what the Chazinish paskin. The Chazinish was very makel in the Shani paskin, like the Ritva, that says that as long as it doesn't mamish collapse, so it would be okay. And others weren't so convinced. Others thought that maybe Ein Yichol Lama Baruch Mitzuya doesn't mean that it's going to collapse. It means it's not going to move. So if it moves a little bit in the wind, that could potentially be a problem. So supposed to be a machmer for that. So those who are machmer for that, that's where all these different kunsim started, this man hazeh, of trying to bolster up the walls a little bit. So those who just build regular canvas sukkahs and don't build it up with anything and don't support it with anything, just stamp the canvas, so they're relying on the chazanish. Chazanish, it's a good place to rely on. But those who don't want to rely on the chazanish, so what they do is they make make-believe walls also, because the Mishnah says, Masechet Eruvin, when you build an Eruv, so you could make a wall based on the principle of lavud. So lavud means, as a halach mashem sinai, that whenever you build a mechitza, so there's a break in the mechitza less than three tefachim, we consider it to be as if it's full. So if you, the Mishnah gives an example of this, you can have lavud in one of two ways. Either you can have lavud, you can have like poles in the ground, less than three tefachim away from one another, or you can have strings going across, chavalim, makifim b'chavalim. So the Gemara has that whole sugya like Ervin, and we assume that it didn't carry over to Chesukah. So in Chesukah also, you can have a mechitza built like that, you can just make a string, then have a little bit of a break of less than three tefachim, then another string, and a little more of a break, and then another string, until you reach the point of ten tefachim. If you have your very strong, tight strings, so then those strings themselves are considered to be the mechitzah. So even according to the Machmirim, that the canvas is not acceptable. Again, some hold the canvas itself is acceptable, but even according to the Olam Machmir, that the canvas is not acceptable, so the sukkah would still be kosher based on the strings. How many sides do you have to surround the sukkah with strings? So l'chora, you have to surround it with as many walls as you need. So l'chora, all you have to surround it is with three walls. So the first Mishnah in Sukkah says three walls is good. So there is a Magen Avram that dug up a Tosfos in Masechet Eruvin, where Tosfos sounds like that whenever you mark it for Chavolim, whenever you make these like we'll call mechitzas gruos, they're not the best quality mechitzas, so then maybe l'chadchilia, maybe mid the Rabbanan, you require four walls. So even though normally a Sukkah with three walls is good enough, but it's such a shvacha wall, so it's a half-baked wall, so maybe for some strange reason mid the Rabbanan, you have to have four walls. So thus became another Chumrah. So those who are machmir, that they don't want to get, according to the Chazanish, so the sukkah of the crusher were just the canvas himself. Those who don't want to rely on the Chazanish, so they stop putting up strings. And those who want to stop putting up strings, so maybe they don't want to just put up on three sides, they want to put up on four sides. So the problem is, if you put strings on all four sides, you have to acrobatics, how to get into the sukkah. It's impossible to get into the sukkah. So the answer is, well, you don't need strings on the whole fourth side, you just need strings on the on up to seven tefachim long of the fourth side, because that's the bare minimum shiur of a sukkah anyway. So that's what we try to do in the shul surface. We have a canvas, but we also have the strings, and on one of the sides, instead of the strings, we have a board. So a board is better than strings. So a board is mamash a board, machitza. So we have one board, so tziruf that one board and all the other strings, so that we have a four-wall sukkah. So even damiach, even if the canvas would blow in the wind, so it would still be kasha just based on the strings and based on the board itself. So some will try to follow that. When we speak about a sukkah, so we mentioned before that the sukkah has to have schach kosher in it. What if it has mostly schach kosher, but it has a little bit of schach posel thrown in? So you have a beautiful, wonderful sukkah. You have a little bits here and there of some schach posel. So is that pose a problem or not? So the answer is depends how much schach posel you have. If you have rov schach posel, that's for sure a problem. But if you have rov schach kosher and just a little bit of pockets of schach posel, so then the Mishnayos and the Gemaras and the first breath of sukkah tell us that it depends on just how much you have, and it depends exactly where it's situated in the sukkah. So you have a halacha that schach posel is paisa b'dala tefachim. If you have schach posel that goes across the length of the sukkah, four tefachim, so you have a big plank of a metal or something that goes across the entire sukkah, and it's more than four tefachim wide, so then the halacha tells us that splits up the sukkah, and then there's no tziruf between the different sides of the sukkah. That's such a davar mafsik. So now you have two sukkahs. So it depends. If you have a four-wall sukkah, so not so bad. So you have a three-wall sukkah here and a three-wall sukkah here, and you just can't sit in the middle. But if you only have a three-wall sukkah, and it goes right down the middle, so then you have a one-and-a-half-wall sukkah and a one-and-a-half-wall sukkah. You have nothing. So therefore, you have to be very careful. If you have a four tefachim break of schach posel, so that could potentially destroy your entire sukkah. What if it's less than four tefachim? So the Gemara says the favorish, then it doesn't ruin the sukkah. Doesn't mean you can sit under it. I have a big, big piece of metal right smack on top of my head. I'm sleeping there, so is that okay? So the Toskim and Medayik from the Gemara, that it depends how big it is. If it's less than three tefachim, then for sure it's okay. Then it's leveled and we just forget about it, we ignore it. If it's between three and four tefachim, that's a machlokes rishonim. So the rishonim will make it on that. Shulchan Aruch is make it leave it on that, and others are machmer on that. That if it's more than three tefachim, one should be careful not to sit under it. Most of the time we don't have this in asukas. Most of the schach posel we have in asukas are very, very small. You have some kind of a metal beam or something, other things that are going across. Even if you have a canvas sukkah, you have a metal beam going across. The metal beam is minuscule, it's just 2 inches wide, so that's not going to ruin the sukkah. It doesn't disqualify the sukkah. You can even sit mamish right under the beam. It's less than three tefachim, so that would be totally okay. There's a special halacha Moshe Mesinai that if you have schach posel against the wall of a sukkah, so if it's within dalat amas of the wall of the sukkah, that's perfectly okay. That's called doifin akuma. That the halacha Moshe Mesinai makes believe that the wall bends over, and you can even that sukkah is kosher. The only thing is you can't sit there, because if you sit under that schach, then you're not sitting under the schach; you're sitting under the wall. You can't say it's wall and then turn around and cheat and sit under it. That's like David Mincha Meir of 7 o'clock. That you can't do. That's out of the question. That's worse than that. But it doesn't disqualify the sukkah. What if you don't have schach posel? What if you have air spaces in your sukkah? So how bad is that? So here the Gemara says we have a halacha that the shear is three tefachim. All these shear and pasha tefachim, all these shear and halacha Moshe Mesinai. If you have three tefachim of avir, that could disqualify the entire sukkah. The same thing, let's say I have a big sukkah, and I have avir going right down the middle of the sukkah, so then that breaks up the continuity of the schach. And if you have a four-wall sukkah, you're still okay. If you have a three-wall sukkah, then you have a problem. But here the Gemara says that if it's avir, even if it's less than three tefachim, you're not allowed to sit under it, because it looks clearly missing. In the case of schach posel, you look up, you can't really tell what's chash or what's posel. Here, you mamish look up, and I'm not under the tachas kanfi ashchina. Literally under the tachas kanfi ashchina, but not under the schach. So that's a problem. So if you have even a little bit of avir, that disqualifies, not the sukkah, but that disqualifies from where you're sitting under. How big is the avir going to disqualify? There's always avir, there's always air. Every sukkah has breaks in between the pieces of schach, so obviously that can't be what the halach is. So the Ramah quotes from the Rishonim that it means you have a really significant piece of avir. So what's called a significant piece of avir? Even if it's big enough to stick your head through, so that could be a problem. Or if it's halach aprekol sukkah, if you have a whole streak of airspace that goes straight from one end of the sukkah to the other, straight, it's not interrupted with anything, so that's considered to be enough of a problem. You shouldn't sit in that area under that avir. So that's what some of the chumrah that they throw some schach in both directions. You throw one or two pieces of bamboo or something, throw something across the other side of the sukkah, going in a different direction, then by definition you will never have an avir hamafsik. The truth is you don't really have to do that because you always have cross beams, you always have something, there's always something that goes in the other direction. So it's very rare you're ever going to have an avir going across the entire sukkah. But some are a practice, and just the SSA, they throw a couple of pieces of bamboo in the other direction, so therefore they know for sure there's no avir going up in Ekula. Yeah, Pasul Schach and also Mimatzah. Yeah, Pashat Ram. Yeah, because Pasul Schach and Avir is not Mitzdarif to pass the Sukkah. So the Chor, that should be okay. Yeah, Pashat is all that should help. Yeah, I think so. I think that should be the din. That's not really Avir Halecha Kol Sukkah, I think so. So, remember when we used to build a Sukkah when I was a teenager, so we used to build a Sukkah in the parking lot of my parents' house, my parents' apartment buildings. There was a fellow there whose parents lived in the next building, so some of the other buildings used to chip in and join us with the sukkah. So he was a Talmud of Aaron Soloveitchik. So he lived in Chicago the whole year. He would always come home to visit his parents. So every year sukkahs, he would always come every sukkahs, and he would take a couple of pieces of bamboo and throw them in the other. He would always take two and throw them in the other direction. So he was the one who taught me about that. So he said that he used to always throw two across. So he asked him once, Why do you throw two? Why don't you just throw one? I said, because one such a big sukkah, one piece of bamboo would go across the whole sukkah. So why do you need two of them? So he said, the rabbi told him we should always throw two because in case one falls off the sukkah, so we have to take the kohen gadol. In case the kohen gadol dies, we have another guy. How many? Maybe the other piece is going to fall off. So throw three, whatever. He said, the rabbi told him two pieces of bamboo was good enough. Even according to the machmirim, two pieces of bamboo was enough. We mentioned before that Tzchach has to be kosher, has to meet all the criteria of the Tzchach. So there is a machlokes atenoim. What if the Tzchach itself is kosher, but the Tzchach is being held up by something that is possible? So that's what's called ma'amid. So does that pose a problem or not? So if it would have asked me, I would have said, what could possibly be the problem? Why should it be a problem? I have kosher Tzchach. What do I care what's holding the Tzchach in place? The Tzchach itself is kosher. So one Tana says, no, ma'amid b'davar makabel tum is a problem. Why is that a problem? So it's unclear why that's a problem. So most of the Rishonim learn it's only a problem in the Rabbanan. According to that Tan, it's only a problem in the Rabbanan. It's a gezei Rishonim Yovel Sachach, that if we let you have Dvar Mamidim on top of the Schach, so next thing you know is you'll use the Mamidim instead of the Schach proper. Next year you forget it. Why bother putting up the Schach? I'll just put up a couple of Mamidim instead. And the Mamidim are Dvar Mamakabim Tumah. So that's one opinion in Tanoim. Do we pass like the Tana? So many Rishonim say we don't even pass like the Tana. And some Rishonim say we do pass like the Tana. How do we follow the halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that the Ikra did is not that way. We don't really follow the Tana. We really, really pass it in the heart of hearts. The Ma'amid B'davar Makabel Tumah is okay. It's not a problem. Not in the Torah Zichanan. It's not even a problem in the Rabbanan. The whole Gezerah doesn't really apply. But there are Rishonim who hold the Shulchan Aruch in one place does quote this Chumra. So there are some Rishonim who accepted this. So therefore, we have a practice. We try to avoid Ma'amid if we can. How do we avoid Ma'amid? So the Magen Avraham came up with the Netza that Ma'amid is only a problem if it's Ma'amid Ma'amish. But if it's what's called Ma'amid Ma'amid, if you have, let's say, something which is possible, the Sachach Bay, so you're not resting the Schach directly on the Ma'amid. You're resting the Schach on something else, which in turn is resting on the Ma'amid. So the Magen Avraham writes, that's okay. That's the source for the practice that many people have when they have the canvas sukkahs, that they don't put the bamboo directly onto the metal. The metal is possible, obviously. What they do is they take a piece of wood and they tie the wood onto the metal and they put a tzach on top of that wood. So that's what the Magen Avraham says. That's the ma'amid, and that would be good even lechatchila. So the Chazanish said that that's not true. The Chazanish says, that if it's possible, it's possible, it's kosher. It's playing a game, adding another layer, doesn't do anything. But at the end of the day, it's the metal that's holding the whole thing up, so then that would still pose a problem. That's the bad news. The good news, the Chazanish says, that we pass in the Ma'amid is not a problem. It says that the Ikra Din is that we don't really accept Ma'amid, just the Psa'ach Chumrah Lechadchila, we don't really accept it. So there are Yesh V'Yesh, so there are some people who just aren't concerned at all about ma'amid. They'll just throw the schach directly onto the metal. But most people, if they put it on the metal, they try to first put it on a piece of wood. They try at least to do the Magen Avraham's version. But again, the whole thing is only really a chumran. It's only a chumran and the rabbanon. So the whole thing is not the end of the world. The issue of ma'amid was one of the issues that was originally when they first came out with the schach mats several years ago, already more than several decades ago already. So one of the issues that was first raised was it was a potential shail of ma'amid, because the original mats used to be made. They were made of little pieces of bamboo, and they were sewn together, and they were being held together by something by some kind of a string. So some poskim were concerned that string was a davar makabel tumah, and if it's makabel tumah, so then even though the bamboo reeds itself, or the bamboo, whatever it is, itself is kosher l'sachi boy, but if not for the string, then the whole thing would fall, would collapse. So that's considered to be a problem of mahamit. So some didn't like the bamboo mats because of a problem of mahamit. So at the time, so the poskim who defended them said that's not even true, that the mats won't collapse even if they're not strung together. If you just throw the thing on top of the poles, so it'll stay in place anyway. So the whole thing is just to give it a little bit more, make it easier to deal with. But you can just otherwise wrap. Otherwise, you have to walk around collecting piece by piece. It just wraps it all together, makes it easier. But in terms of we'll stay without the string. And then the lady said the revamped product was that they started to make the bamboo mats instead of using strings, so they use natural reeds or something. They used something which itself would be kosher v'schach. So the mats that we bought for the shul were made, those are the newer ones, the ones which ready were avoid the whole amount of problem. When the mats originally came out, so there was another concern with the mats, that there were some who questioned whether the mats were a more serious problem, even Mahmid, maybe they're a shadow of a Dover Makabotuma. It's called Pshuta Kliyetz. Whenever you have a piece of wood that doesn't have a toch, that doesn't have a receptacle to it, so Pshuta Kliyetz is not Makabotuma. So what could possibly be wrong with the mats? So the Torah tells us that if you have a kli that's miyuchah for shchiva, if you have something that's miyuchah for sitting on or sleeping on, so that's tummy tumas medris, even if it's Pshuta Kliyetz. That's fair shadin. So that's what the Mishnah says at the end of the first part of Sukkah, that if you would have a mat, if you would have a bunch of pieces of wood that would be made in such a way, made into a mat, that people usually sleep on it, so that would be a problem. That would be mamash kabbalah tumah, that would be possible as chachma in a Torah. So there were some who wanted to argue that maybe these mats are a problem, maybe these mats are all made for shchiv, and they're all apostle sachach boy. So the mekilim responded, that would mean they're made for shchiv, they're made for Sukkah. Haraya, we have a multi-million-dollar mat business, and we go out to China, and we're telling everybody they should make these mats for Dafka to be shipped to Bar Bark and Bnei Brak. So they're not making it for Shchiv, they're making it for Tzchach. So the Mishnah says, Beferish, that it's made for other reasons. It's made for Tzchach, not for Shchiv, then for sure it's not Makabel Tuma. So those who responded said, no. They said that, what do you mean it's made for Tzchach? Who decided that's made for Tzchach? The person who presses the button, doesn't even know what you're talking about. And you're telling a guy, you're going out to the Far East, and you're telling somebody to press a button for Tzchach. He never heard of Tzchach, never heard of Sukkah, doesn't know what you're talking about. He says, yeah, good, you give us money, we'll do whatever you want. So he presses the button, thinking that it's being made for Shchiva. So others responded back, they said, no, it doesn't matter what he thinks, I'm paying for the mats, well, I'm buying the mats, I'm ordering the mats. Vachpati, what he does, he thinks, doesn't he think. So this was an issue years ago when the mats first came out. It's consensus view, basically amongst everybody today, is we assume that these mats are not really made for shchiva. That nobody in Bergenfeld sleeps on these mats. And, we hope not too many people in China sleep on the bamboo mats that are made for shipment back to Bergenfeld. So we're assuming that these mats are not really makabel tumah. That's what the mekilim on. Some of the old style people still like to use the bamboo because there was some pikpukim on the mats years ago when they first started. But again, even though mikra din, all the pikpukim are probably been resolved. So therefore, we in our shul we make them. The shul's maker that we have mats. It was either that or storing an awful lot of bamboo. So we decided to follow the mekilim a little bit on this. So we got the chumrah dika mats. We're relying on all the poskim in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone uses the mats, and when most people in America use the mats, also we assume that they're okay. Person has a sukkah and they have a little bit of schach possible, we mentioned before, just here and there, so it doesn't really pose much of a problem. But nevertheless, the poskim quote a minhag that when you put up decorations, so you want to be careful that you don't run into a problem with decorations being schach possible. Most of the decorations are possible, the plastic or the real fruit, whatever, all is possible with schach and boy. So you don't want to end up sitting under decorations. So what do you have to do in order to avoid this problem? So again, most of the time it's not a problem, but it's very rare that you have so much decorations in one area. But to avoid this problem, so the poskim recommend, based on the Gemara in the first Berach Sukkah, that the schach, the decorations should all be within 12 inches, and okay. Talk to the math, say I'm giving, but within four tvachim of the schach, so the decoration should try not to protrude down beneath four tvachim. So the bottom of the decoration should be within four tvachim of the schach, so that's just approximately 12 inches. So then you're okay. Then whatever's there is bottled to the schach, it's not a problem. If it drops down a little bit, a small decoration, it's not the end of the world. But you start to have a lot of really, really heavy duty decorations, and they're all coming down more than four tvachim, you could potentially disqualify your entire sukkah. So we should try to follow the minhag, to try to keep the decorations as close as possible. Okay, so again, so we try to give a little bit of an overview in terms of Asiyas HaSukkah. You know, those who haven't built the sukkah yet, not too many more days left to do it, so I want you to start to get moving on the building the sukkah. Hopefully every Yom Tov we'll talk a little bit more about other Inyanim and the sukkah. Okay, wish everybody a blessing.